עיקר הכלי זין של איש הישראלי, the main weapon that Israel person has, הוא התפילה, is the prayer. לכל המלחמות שצריך האדם לכבוש, all the wars that a person has to conquer, he has to do them, whether it's the יצר הרע, fighting the יצר הרע, or any other stuff that he has to fight, everything you should do through tefillah, and his main life comes from tefillah. Therefore, someone who really wants to be a kadosh, he needs to spend a lot of time to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the main weapon, a person to victory all the wars. Yeah. So, but we have to remember, we're talking very high things over here. We're talking about kedusha, about purity. Okay, it's very high things. So therefore, Rama says like this. Lachem, therefore, lifnei shematchilim medaber al yemei tarut u'kedusha gvoyim, before we even begin talking about matters of arousal, to go high in kedusha and holiness and stuff like that, tzrichim arbe itchazkut. We need a lot to strengthen ourselves, a lot of patting ourselves on the shoulder and saying that we're okay and we're good boys and Hashem is taking care of us. A lot. לא ניתן להתחיל שום דבר בעבודת השם בלי הרבה התחזקות, הרבה סבלנות. It's impossible to begin anything in serving Hashem without a lot of strengthening oneself and a lot of patience. מכיוון שלשנות את הטבע, because changing nature, to acquire a good midah, to go out of a bad lust that one has, it's something that could take a lot of tefillahs, a lot of prayers. And who knows what a person will go through with all the time that he's praying. He falls and he gets up and he falls even stronger down. He smashes himself completely spiritually. And he falls in this. ובלי הרבה התחזקות, אדם לא יכול לעמוד. Without one strengthening himself very, very much all the time, he won't withstand this the war. And he's gonna withdraw. He'll say, I had enough with this. Okay. לכן, therefore, חשוב מאוד, it's very, very important, שכל מה שנכתב בספר הוא רק כדי להתפלל על כך. Everything and anything that we're learning in this book is only, it's not in order to do. It's just in order to pray for. You pray for, you'll do it. But not to do. We're not learning you what to do, we're learning you what to pray about. You daven for it, then you could go on. And not in order to persecute yourself. You see, I need to be like this, and I'm not. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I'm such a fool, I'm such a type of that, the heck with this, I'm leaving, had enough, I'm going home. Okay, it's not for that. Right, oh, you see the Rav wrote, and I'm not. And the main strengthening oneself is that each one has to understand exactly what his job is. Avodah shelcha, your work is only to pray and to beg the Creator of the world that will save you from all what you need to be saved from, and that he will nullify from you completely this lust and any other lust. And as the years pass and a person prays every single day, for sure his prayers will be answered, his merit to also to bring his potential into action, right, and to go completely out of the bad and become only complete pure in holiness and good. Okay, so עוד פעם, to remind ourselves again and again, it's not here in order to persecute yourself. If someone feels like he's being beating himself up and he's feeling down because of the book, that's the time that he has to take his feet and leave the room. It's not the time that he needs to sit here and understand the book. Okay? This book is only when you're besimcha. If you're not besimcha, don't learn the book and don't work with the book. It's dangerous. Everyone has to remember that Hashem is responsible for the world and not me. Someone feels sad because of what he's working. Oh, you see, I'm not this and I'm not that. That means he's not in the place of working on these things. Besides the fact that that itself is kfira. It's denying of Hashem, that you're saying, I'm doing it, not Hashem. So we're starting out the first chapter, Perek Rishon, Ikar Nisayon, the main test of person in the world. כל מי שמתבונן רואה שאנחנו נמצאים בתקופה של ניגודים קיצוניים. Anyone who looks a little bit deeper than the surface, you could see that we are in a place of extreme
conflict.
Yeah, conflicts, right? Very extreme. On the one hand, התגברות היצר הרע במדים שלא היו מעולם. The strengthening of the Yetzirah, it became so strong in the world And it never was in the world with the internet and the Facebook and the WhatsApps and I don't know all the things. I'm just telling
pornography.
You.
Pornography.
When I heard about it, we don't have to say all that. That's what they have there. We don't have to say because maybe people want them to look. The kitsu, the taiva is crazy. Right? Then afterwards you could eliminate. Okay? Tadikata. Ken, you see that the Yetzirah is very, very strong in the world. But on the other hand, there's such great lights of Emunah in the world that there never was in the world like this. People from all over the world. From all over the world, right?
What do you say about him yesterday?
What was this? You heard of Avos yesterday at the funeral? He spoke to TV. You know what he said?
No, actually no.
Oh my gosh. I think we have to put him in the...
Guinness Book.
Not in the Guinness Book, in the...
Sadiqim Book.
No, the people who...
Oh, the living house?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, seriously.
You know what he said?
Can we get a translation of that on video and put it on YouTube?
I don't know
if he wants it on YouTube.
Yeah, it was for TV. Why not?
Oh, okay.
I have to hear it again. I don't know how to say
it. It would really raise
He spoke... First of all, he said that...
So everybody knows, you know what
he said... He's time. He spoke first of all about that things like this happen because of lack of loving another Jew.
Wow!
And to love other Jews means to do a fatza. If you love him, why only if he's dying something? Then you're going to oh, we need to save his life. Or when he's spiritually dying, you're not going to go save his life. And even if you're not going to go personally to go and save a person's life spiritually, at least spend time every day to pray for him. That's what he said. And he said. That and we see that in every Ilula of a Tzaddik, we see by Rav Shmuel Bar Chaya and Baba Sali, also when Baba Sali was nifta, I heard there was a crazy accident that four big, big rabbis that came back from the Levaya of Baba Sali were killed in a car accident also.
25 years ago on the same road, I think, it was the same situation.
Yeah, right? It's more than 25 years. So
but there was also another one.
Kids were coming back from the Levaya. Anyways, from the Levaya and from the Ilulot and the Rav Shmuel Bar Chaya also, if I remember a few years ago, that the I don't know, five people were killed, two kids also, and three adults. Crazy stuff. And we see that, why is that dafka in the Ilulot of the Tzaddikim? Because he said that there's big lights that come down in the Ilulot of the Tzaddikim, and then there's a big kitluk for Am Yisrael also. And that
that's
time there's a big, the person who speaks bad in Shamayim, what's it called, the accusers.
Yeah.
Against Am Yisrael on the other side, because when there's a lot of dusha, there's also a lot of that also. And there's the certain neshamas which are willing to go as a korban tzibur, or a sacrifice of the congregation, of the whole Am Yisrael. And that's why you see a year and a half, which he did a sin or something. No, it's special neshamas that agreed to come down to this world and die in this certain way in order to be kapara for all of Christ. It's neshamas of tzaddikim usually. And also, and then he said, we don't have any question on Hashem. We're in great happiness. That's what I was shocked.
Wow.
He said, "Basimcha gdola, simcha atzuma." We're just thanking Hashem. We're in great happiness and great joy.
So he said.
So I said to myself, I spoke to Rav Dol this morning near his house, and he said, "Rav Arush is metoraf." You know what metoraf means? Nuts. It's not normal.
Yeah.
Because the whole world is nuts. So whereas normal is not normal, because
right.
Normal is not normal anymore. Bekitzo, Ramash, it's the tzaddikim are beyond this. And like Rav Arush says, he said only a few weeks ago about Rav Aaron of Belz, the father of the Belz Rebbe today. The Belz Rebbe today is very old. He married up already, he's marrying up his grandchildren. But his father, Zichron Levracha, he went through the war and he lost his wife and his children. And then he got married, he had only this one son. And after the war, people came to him and say, Rebbe, we're so sorry for you, for the sorrow that you went through, all the tzal, you should never know more tzal. So he told people, what? Go wash your hands. What did I do? Such denial, such kfila coming out of your mouth? Go wash your hands! So he went and washed my hands. Well, what did I say wrong? Repeat me, say after me. Aaron ben Miriam, I think his name is, never knew any sorrow, never had any sorrow. You know what he went through in life, through the war and through the Nazis. And he said, I never had any sorrow. How could you say that? He was beaten. His wife was killed, murdered. His children were murdered. How could he? His whole congregation went. His whole Kehillah, he was a rabbi of a huge of a city. Almost everyone were murdered. And he said he had no sorrow. How could he say such a thing? But yeah, he had no sorrow. He was beyond the sorrow. He saw Hashem.
Why do we mourn? Why do we mourn?
What? Because the Torah says it's beyond. I know we can't say this for ourselves. It's very difficult. But someone can reach a level like that. Someone can reach such a level. And people, you know what? I'll give you an example. I know one person, but there's many people that live like this. I know a family. They have terrible shalom bayis, first of all. Terrible shalom bayis. And second of all, another thing is that they both working and they make a nice living and they just bought the house and they paying a little mortgage. They had a lot of money. They had over 500,000 shekels to pay, and so they didn't take such a big mortgage and they're able to pay it. And they move into the house and everything, but the whole time now they're worried. Why? Because they made a calculation and how much they have the expenses and how much the income and what's going to be. But really, they have enough money to live. They have more than enough money to live. But now they're worried and they're afraid to buy their chinzi now. Or we're going to buy this thing that costs a few shekels. Now we're going to spend it. Now we're going to do it. And I'm looking at it as a Talmid of Avalosh. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh. They don't know what poverty is about at all. Maybe they come to my house. I'll show them a little bit. So look at my walls. Come see the bills. But not now.
Which
but
house? Which one?
And the time that I couldn't pay the bill for half a year, and I don't know what, all kinds of crazy things, like hardly Shabbos you can make, hardly have potatoes for the kids for lunch. But who cares? You know, we're happy people. We have something. Baruch Hashem. Whatever we have is good. I'm saying, people, they're having so much. They have so much. They have everything they need. They're so worried. They're so this. And in the world, that's a normal thing. What do you mean? He has to see it. How is he going to have an income? How is he going to pay? How is he going to do it? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, they're crazy. Why are they living like this? Why aren't they happy people? Right? And the same thing, Asim Ravaush, or Big Tzadikim like Ravaush. We could say, oh my gosh, the person we have, they lost their daughter. But if you take it to the Emunah place, I'm not taking them right now because it's their test. Yeah. But if a person to build tools to deal with all kinds of tragedies, everyone's going to lose family at a certain time and age, right? That's the way of life. Your parents, they'll show them to 120 and then they pass away. Right? And your spouse or you, that's life. There's all kinds of tragedies, all kinds of hard things in life that we have to go through. Illnesses, chas shalom, no shadam. And kids, there's things that we go through in life. Right? So that person has to build tools for this. So if someone takes it now, when he doesn't have a situation, takes it to what to do, take it to clarify inside himself, that really, for example, losing a child. Chas shalom, no one should ever have such a horrible thing. But losing a child, take it to the Emunah place. What is children? What are our children? Children are, everyone knows the story in the Gemara of Rab Meir Bar Anes. He lost two of his children on Shabbos. He wasn't learning in Bismarck. And then after Shabbos, he comes to do Abdullah, and he asks his wife, where's the kids? They're busy now, they're going to come soon, whatever. Do Abdullah, afterwards they'll come. You make Abdullah, and then he tells them, where are the kids? He says, come, I'll show you. So upstairs, she reveals the blanket, and they're both lying there dead. He starts crying. He asked her before. She asked him before, if someone gives me a deposit and he comes to take it back, I have to give it back to him? Of course. And then he goes up, he starts crying. So she asked him, why are you crying?
Sorry.
Like,
feel better,
bro. Why are you crying? So she says, he says, what do you mean, our children? He says, yeah, but didn't you teach me that someone gives you a deposit, you have to give it back? So we got a deposit, we have to give it back. So if you look at it in the eyes of Amunah, so a person understands that these children were just a deposit in his hand, and now Hashem took his child. Okay? So he has a bigger tool, a better place that he could deal with it. He's not just in grief and in sorrow. And someone doesn't see it like that, he could stay for years in depression, for years to get out of it. And someone has it, and someone is in a higher level than that. He even sees, I had this chut to have this child for 1 year. Thank you, Hashem, for 1 year that you gave me. He's just all happy and joy and everything. the more he grows, the more he has tools for dealing with all kinds of things in life. And you see, the way I heard the vow, I was shocked. Yeah. Because losing a child in our eyes is someone has children, because you can't even, he starts thinking about it, starts crying. Like, you lose a child, your own child, it's part of you. But really, it's not like that. It's just the shamas that come down to the world and they leave and they come and we don't know anything. Like, I remember my brother also lost his daughter when she was a few days old. So they came to Rav Arush. They wanted to talk with him, to give him some chizuk. And he told them a lot of chizuk. He said, this is, first of all, he told them it won't happen to you again. Because we feel like that, are worried, you know, it happened to them. And then he gave them a lot of chizuk. We have to understand that this, you have the schut to bring this neshama of a tzaddikis to the world, which is only taken was 48 hours. It's a big thing. To have a pregnancy, adopt these parents, 48 hours to be a parent for this special neshama till it returns back.
Can we learn also that you send this to the public who might not be able to understand where, I mean, we're struggling to understand where it's coming from,
right.
but we can still get there, right? I mean, like,
we have more.
We can get there on an intellectual level, I guess, right?
At least.
Yeah, but like, you know, the general public, you know,
they have no idea.
No idea have it, you know, and so. Is there a way, I mean, is that the proper way to do it? Just to give him that light or to maybe do it a little different?
I think he doesn't know otherwise.
Yeah.
Because I said this once at something that wasn't a tragedy.
Yeah.
I said it once, the story with the Rav Arush. And people said, well, it's not normal. Maybe he wasn't human. Maybe he had no feelings to his children. I mean, they thought he's crazy. That's what they thought. They couldn't comprehend it, like you said.
Right.
But the Rav Arush, I don't think, knows otherwise. I could speak only intellectually. He that's what he knows. That's what
right.
he speaks. That's what he knows. It's a very high level.
Uh-huh.
Very high level. It's beyond what we can understand. But of course, they should know no more sorrow than Shem Yazom. You weren't here. I said what Rav Arush said at Hesped, at the granddaughter. It's on the JerusalemCats.com.
CATS.
I heard it on TV. I didn't see it on TV, so I don't know if it's true or not. But for sure, he spoke out to the public. He spoke out to the media. At the Shamgar. Amarush is. Shamad at the Espech, Amar. Simchat Sumat, Simchat Dola.
Me
too. So he asked, Joe, what's your name again?
Yeah,
right. He asked, it's okay that he speaks like this to the public, you know, how could they, maybe us, but when people are Chiloni, why could they understand what he said? So I said that I don't think Allah knows otherwise, you know, that's where he is, and that's what he said. What is bad? What bad? What's bad? What's bad? Doesn't know, like. Shem Yazo.
Maybe the public needs it.
Maybe they'll see such a light. Maybe they'll get something from it.
Given what's happening in France and throughout the world.
Rabbeinu says that Rabbeinu speaks Torah very, very high. Very, very high. So Rabbi Nathan told him, why are you talking to us like this? Who are we? What are we? So Rabbeinu said, I'll give you an example. Mashal, a parable. That there was a king whose son was very, very sick, very ill. He couldn't even open his mouth to put medicine in his mouth. And the doctors gave up. There's one old doctor who said, tell the king, listen, I can help you. But it's very, very expensive. Very, very expensive. But what are you? Tell me what to do. He says, you have to bring pills of this very, very expensive medicine and pour it over your son's body, his head, and perhaps a drop will fall into his mouth and he'll be saved. So Rabbeinu said, that's my Torah. I'm giving you such very, 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 we don't have to do it. Nothing to do with us, Zuchar Rabbeinu's Torah. Perhaps a drop will fall into our mouth and we'll be saved with Rabbeinu's words. And that's what Rav Arush Levi also, he thinks there's a great, great light. Perhaps some light will fall into someone's heart. If someone could speak like this about his grandchild being dying in a car accident, maybe there is truth in the world. Maybe there is a happy life. Maybe there is something there. So. Maybe. So. You see that everything you learn, I just learned all these things, a lot of things today. It sounded randomly that I had these things or whatever around me. And everything you do comes into handy.
It's
all connected. When someone learns in order to teach, Hashem gives them a bigger vessel what to say.
Wow.
It's 100%. I see it clearly. His Yitbodedut is totally different. Everything is different in his life. He's not for himself anymore. He's just a vessel. We don't have time for this.